Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
John, I know that the president is credited with being sometimes awfully lucky. Rainbows appear sometimes when he speaks. But I understand there was an incident today where he killed a fly out of midair during your interview. Describe it for us. What happened?
Well, David, this reminded me of that moment during the campaign when he took a three-point shot at a military base and it swished.
It never fails. Great weather, rainbows, incredible speeches, and three-point basket, a fly, and he nails it. Unbelievable.
The signature characteristic of... I'm going to start over. Hey, get out of here.
That's the most persistent fly I've ever seen. Nice.
Now, where were we?
All right,
that was
you get the picture. Here's the president killing a fly with the microcephalics in our media slavishly worshiping him. This is while North Korea threatens nuclear war. This is while Iran is killing protesters. This is while our currency is melting down and being devalued. The microcephalics at CNBC, MSNBC, and NBC. By the way, they are the worst, and there's a reason for it. I don't think you know what went on, but it was reported about a month ago or 6 weeks ago before the story was buried that the owner, the parent company of NBC, which is General Electric, was fundamentally bought off by Obama. Apparently, the CEO of General Electric, Immelt, did a deal through the Obama administration where General Electric gets, it was reported, $1 trillion in these sort of soft energy projects around the world. And, of course, there's no quid pro quo. We know that. But we think there's a quid pro quo, particularly if you put microcephalics in charge of the media entities, and they then laud the president for even swatting a fly. Now, this ties directly in with my story the other day that it is the neo-Marxist media that explains our neo-Marxist president and how he got away with it. I was pleased to see this morning that Don Fetter, a columnist that I've read, who I've read his stuff for years, and I've always loved Don's work. I had no idea he listens to my show. He wrote an article about me that's laudatory, and so I'm going to summarize it. He said, on his Monday evening talk show, Michael Savage, one of America's most popular hosts, articulated an important truth. Barack Obama is a creation of a leftist media to which he would add, especially the New York Times, to which he would add. Savage was commenting on a June 15th Gallup poll which showed conservatives are now the single largest ideological group in the country. According to Gallup, 5 months into the Obama administration, which the Times insists reflects the will of the American people, 40% of Americans call themselves conservatives, 35% moderates, and only 21% call themselves liberal. The radio personality whose national audience exceeds 8 million then asked the rhetorical question, if a plurality of Americans are conservative, why is there a neo-Marxist in the White House who's successfully implementing a socialist agenda? The answer, said Savage, is because we have a, quote, neo-Marxist media. He then says, this isn't name-calling, but an accurate assessment of what might be called a partnership in crime. Barack Obama and the mainstream media. Ask yourself this. How did a man with almost no experience in national office go from being a junior senator to president of the United States in less than 4 years, easily the most meteoric rise in political history? How did a man whose friends include Bill Ayers and Jeremiah A. Wright Jr., an unrepentant ex-terrorist and a raving racist, manage to brush off scandal that would have sunk any other candidate? In a nation where conservatives are the largest political group, why does a president who's moving to socialize large sectors of the U.S. economy, including the auto industry, banking, and healthcare, have an overall approval rating of 60%? The answer, as Savage correctly and courageously pointed out, is a media that colluded with his presidential campaign and now has become an adjunct to the White House press office. Since the New York Times sets the agenda for the rest of the neo-Marxist media, America's so-called newspaper of record is the chief culprit here. Until conservatives acknowledge the fact that the NYT and company are at war with basic American values and begin fighting back, a nation with a conservative plurality will continue on a course charted by a neo-Marxist president. Thank you, Don Fetter. You got it exactly right. Thanks for listening. Now, I don't know how many other people in the media listen to the show. I assume many of them do. And that is because they know my ideas are important. And I believe that we are at a point, they used to call it a tipping point. Before that, it was called a turning point. Whatever you want to call it, we're at a point that once we pass this point, it will be a point of no return. The neo-Marxist administration of Barack Obama is a naked and open Marxist administration. Everything he does is right out of the playbook of a Marxist presidency. It doesn't matter how many microcephalics say otherwise. It doesn't matter to me if every microcephalic in the media calls me names. It doesn't matter to me if every microcephalic at NBC, the puppets owned by Immelt and the Obama administration, ridicule me or don't mention me. What matters is the truth. I just came up to a studio I haven't been at since the beginning of the month. I have many studios I move around in for various reasons. And in this one, my hand is coated with, what is it called? What's that pink stuff? Calamine lotion, because I was sitting on the hillside before coming down to the studio. And I was going through the old papers here. I found a monologue from 17th of December, 2008. It's a short paragraph. I was going to throw it out, but I said I'm going to read it to you because it directly ties into what Obama is doing to us. It's a paragraph. And it's called Moses Saves, Jesus Invests. And I wrote this. I said, when I was a schoolboy, wise guys used to joke, Jesus saves, Moses invests. Well, today, if Jesus had his money in a bank, he'd be earning 0% interest. Moses would be broke. But at least Jesus would still have his money. The question is how long before this group at the SEC and Treasury wipes out all of our savings by devaluing the U.S. dollar to near worthlessness through bailouts and loans to their insiders. How different is Hank Paulson / Tim Geithner from Bernie Mader? Only time will tell. December 17, 2008. And I was about to throw that out. Maybe I should frame it and put it on my wall, along with a poster I bought years ago that says the following. Save your Confederate money. The South will rise again. 1-800-419-8255. What's going to happen to our currency? Do you know what I'm doing now? I'm tipping double everywhere I go. I joke with the waiters. I went to a car wash. So I gave the guy $10. I said to him, don't worry, in a year it'll be worth $5 what I'm giving you. Last night I gave wherever I go, I give him a tip. I said, don't worry, you should spend it tomorrow because tomorrow, next year it'll be worth half of what I'm giving you. You know, spend your paper money, folks, because at the rate Obama is printing money and at the rate that China's bailing out of our T-bills and at the rate other countries are bailing out of our currency because of this mad spending, I am telling you I'm frightened about the future of America's currency. Something is afoot here, and it's not very good. I don't have a question to ask you. Nothing. I have nothing to ask you. I don't even want a caller. I'm not even in the mood for a caller. I'd rather listen to myself talk, and you know, because I have things to say, and I may do history today, history of the world, and where we are historically, because it's not that it's as unknown. You know, just that they say that there's no new stories, you know, a scriptwriter will tell you that every story, you've heard it said that every story that's ever been written has been written. I don't agree with that. They say it's just a matter of changing the characters, that there's only a few plots. In a sense, this political story that we're living through has been written already and lived through already. This is not a new story. Obama's not new. The face is new, but the story is old. The face is new, but the story is quite old. It's been tried in other nations. It was tried in 1917 in the Russia, which became the Soviet Union. This is nothing new. We have a master rhetorician. And he's a master only to the microcephalics who don't understand the truth between the reality between truth and rhetoric. I can talk to you about this if you want, but it may be too heavy. I mean, you'd probably rather hear me talk about the bad sushi I ate for lunch. Somehow you get a kick out of that. So I'll tell you about the eel I ate. That's why my skin broke out. I have never eaten eel in my life. I will never eat eel again. I didn't mean to eat eel, but the guy fooled me. I don't have time to even look at menus. My mind is somewhere else. I run into this Japanese joint I know. Normally, I don't eat this garbage, but it was a lunch special. I look quickly. It's some kind of roll, which I thought had like a California roll. Then it was chicken teriyaki, which I, okay, whatever. You know, 4 cents worth of chicken with bad sauce. And something else, which were delicious. They were scallop, deep-fried scallops, which are absolutely delicious. So it took forever to come out. I made calls. Blah, I have to listen to people. My feet are squirming inside my shoes. I don't know what to do. I want it. You know, I'm like Mr. ADD in a restaurant. Like, well, did you put it in? Why didn't you get it? Why am I not? What? It was a nightmare. I mean, you go to Tokyo, they eat fast. The Japanese know that when you go in a restaurant, they feed you bang, boom, boom. Here, everything is dragged out like everyone's on glue. So I ate it. I didn't know what was wrong with the rolls. I thought it was a regular California roll. I left it over. I'm leaving. I look in the door. They have like the dish on the table when you come in. This time I put my glasses on. It says special eel roll. You hear this? So I had to put calamine in my left hand. Oh, it's disgusting. Who would eat eel? Why do they eat eel? This is when Japan was a starving nation. They ate eel. Why do you eat an eel? You want to talk about Obama, I know. You want to talk about politics, I know. I don't think I do. I really don't think I do. I'd rather do history. I don't know. I don't know what's there to talk about. You know, I see it coming. I see a media made up of microcephalics like the CNBC guys. They're astounded that Obama kills a fly. Did you hear that guy, that David Schuster character, that microcephalic from NBC, from MSNBC? Literally, play his voice. His voice gets me crazy. Play it.
John, I know that the president is credited with being sometimes awfully lucky. Rainbows appear sometimes.
Shut up!
When
you sound like a chick. You should have had a father when you were... Shut him up. Shut him up. You should have had a father shake him. Should have had a father shake him and say, talk like a man, not like a girl. Or the most you'll ever achieve is a job on MSNBC. I'll be right back. The world is melting down. The currency is melting down. North Korea is threatening nuclear war. Iran is in turmoil. Russia wants a new reserve currency for the world. And what does Obama do? He a big, big display. Domestic partnership benefits for gays in the federal government. What kind of president is this? What kind of president could get away with this were it not for the microcephalics in the media? Virginia Dawn, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead. John, are you on the air here, guy?
Hello?
All right. All right. Thanks for the call. We got the live ones today. Everyone's on the Chickapoo Joy Juice. And where is everyone? Is there a World Series? I don't even know the month it is. June 17th. You want to talk about the wars of the Greeks and Persians? I think I'd rather just talk about the museum and library at Alexandria that was burnt to the ground by the Muslims after they invaded Egypt. Would you like to hear about that? How about the museum and library at Alexandria, Greece, that was burnt to the ground when the Muslims invaded Greece? You don't know invaded Egypt. You don't want to know anything about that. See, they didn't want the spirit of inquiry to continue. They thought that one book was all humankind needed, very much like MSNBC. Only one book is necessary for the people on that network. How about the life of Gautama Buddha? You want to talk about Buddha? He's an interesting guy. About the same time that Isaiah was prophesying among the Jews in Babylon, and Heraclitus was carrying on his speculative inquiries into what things were, they were all in the same world at the same time, the 6th century B.C., and they were unaware of each other. That's interesting when you think about it, that all of these great minds occurred in the same century. They didn't know each other. Buddha was teaching his disciples at Benares in India. Same time Isaiah was prophesizing among the Jews in Babylon, and Heraclitus was carrying on in his speculations at Ephesus. So what does it have to do with you? Nothing. What does it matter to you? What does history and philosophy mean to anybody? Nothing. We live in a society where they can text message. What do you mean, Buddha, Isaiah? Who cares about them? All that matters is that some chick can run around with pointy shoes and text message someone and vote for Obama. That's all that matters. That's all that matters, the benefits are given to domestic partners. That's the whole world. brainwashed by AOL and Yahoo News, run by the same mentality. So for me to sit here and talk about Buddha, Isaiah, what's the point? Confucius, Lao Tzu, what's the point of talking about it? They don't want to know history. All they want to know is how to better text message. So what I say to you is, Obama is nothing new. We've seen him before. We have seen Obama before. He comes to us this time with a new name and a new look. But he has been on the earth before. The Obama phenomenon has been seen in ancient Egypt, and I gave it a name before. The Obama that you are seeing had appeared in Russia in 1917 with a different style and a different name. So there is nothing new under the sun. Is there? Emergency telos is now connected. So now this died on me. It's one of those days everything went wrong. One house the plumbing went out in. The other house the electricity went out in. Then the third house, I have a neighbor from hell that you can't believe. Every time you turn around, you think that she's finished expanding her house. Just when it's over after 2 years, she does something new. And two very nice, quiet children, really well-behaved. Unbelievable. Some people, 1-800-449-8255. What about basketball hoops in the street? Why are they legal? Not only do they make a neighborhood look like white trash, but the noise from them and the danger to children running amok in the streets is unbelievable to me. Why do you buy a child a basketball hoop? I'll never understand it. You're telling me that this is what you want your child to become? That's the most he should achieve in life is throwing a basketball into a hoop? He shouldn't be taking lessons in something after school instead of throwing a dumb basketball in a hoop? I don't understand the world I'm living in. The world's melting down. That's the biggest thing is Little League. Knock, bang, bang, every night. Bang, 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 with a metal bat. Little Nazis running around with striped uniforms. That's all the fathers want them to do is hit a ball and throw a basket into a ball. That makes them into a full human being. No wonder they grow up to be absolute morons and can elect a president like this. The father didn't know any better. He's got a pair of Bermuda shorts on that you can puke from. A man doesn't belong in a pair of shorts. I'm sorry, I've never seen a man look good in shorts in my life. Never. You go swimming, you need a pair of shorts, I understand it. Why would a man wear shorts? It infantilizes him. Get a light pair of pants. What are you walking around with shorts? You look stupid. Why do men wear shorts? I never saw anything like it on a nation like this.
Savage.
Never seen anything like this. The man is disassembling the entire nation in front of your eyes. It's only June 17th, 2009. Not 6 months. The man is dismantling the entire edifice of America right before your eyes because the neo-Marxist vermin in the media are complicit with this neo-Marxist administration. The majority of Americans do not want this to happen. The majority of Americans are outraged that this is happening. The majority of Americans would like these criminals in jail, but the majority of Americans have been put to sleep. And I can tell you the five different ways you've been put to sleep. George in Houston, Texas, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, it's an honor, and I have to ask you, if we're sleeping giant, paraphrasing Yamamoto, the commander of the Imperial Forces of Japan after the attack of Pearl Harbor, or are we on a coma?
We are a sleeping lady, not a sleeping giant. And I believe that the lady has had the anesthesia put out by the media and by other sources to such a level that the lady will never awaken. I believe the lady cannot come out of this coma. I believe she's flatlined.
What happened to us, Dr. Savage?
What happened to us?
Yes, sir.
How many ways can I tell you who did this to us? It started 30 or 40 years ago with the radical left. It started with so many different pressure groups screaming for their own ends in order to suppress the white, Christian, heterosexual, married male. The white, Christian, heterosexual, married male is the epitome of everything right with America, and yet it is the white, Christian, heterosexual, married male who has been made the beast of America. Now, I can delimit for you further, but I would rather not do so at this time. I think you could pretty much fill in the blanks yourself.
Can I tell you?
Thanks for, I don't know, whatever. I got a migraine from it already. Why would microcephalics in the media celebrate the president killing a fly during an interview? What kind of media is this? How is that possible that people can watch the man kill a fly and make something of it? It's not the fact that he killed a fly. It's his business. I personally let flies out of a window. That's my choice. In that sense, it's my way of looking at the world. But the point is, he kills a fly and they make that into way to go, like he did something great. These little men at CNBC who ML told to go there and lick his boots. All right, whatever. Arizona Lance, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Oh, hey, what's up, Mike? You're the only talk radio host that I truly listen to and like, because you're not so one-sided. But I just my wonder is, what's the big deal about that election in Iran? If the other guy had won, I know there would be no changes coming out of there.
It's very interesting that you say that. That's very interesting. This is almost a two-card Monty game going on in Iran. The so-called reformist has the same hardline policies towards America and the West as Ahmadinejad. He just has different rhetoric. It's very intriguing.
Right. Yeah.
The big deal is that they wanted a different face on Iran. And it's for the people to choose, not for the mullahs to choose. So in a sense, it's a big deal. In another sense, it's not a big deal. But at the end of the day, even if they get to overturn the election, which I doubt, the attitude towards America is not going to change, because the throwback mullahs are in charge of that nation. They hijacked Iran after the Shah was overthrown as a result of Jimmy Carter. And a result of Jimmy Carter's meddling and being a front man for worldwide Islamic terrorism, Khomeini came back from Paris, where he'd been in exile, took over Iran, destroyed the nation. And so, yeah, they would like to see a different face on the mullah, but the mullahs really run the country anyway. It's only when the mullahs are gone and it's no longer a theocracy that you can have a modernistic Iran. We'd never forget the Iranian people are an advanced people, a wonderful people, a great culture, an ancient culture. These throwbacks have dragged Iran back 600 years. You wouldn't hear that from the microcephalics at CNBC, would you? Because you can't build a nuclear plant in Iran if you criticize the mullahs. And after all, at General Electric, there's more than light bulbs. There's more than light bulbs. So what would you like to talk about? Oh, there's so many things that we can talk about while we still can, before the books are burned. Before the books are burned, I think we should talk about books. The Last Babylonian Empire. Are you interested in that? Darius the First? I'm not. Egypt, Babylon, and Assyria. Sumeria. How about you want to go all the way back to the beginnings of cultivation. Primitive thought, monkeys, apes, and submen, or you want to go back to the age of mammals? Or would you like to go back to the first birds and the first mammals? Or shall we go back further to the age of reptiles? Or shall we go back to the age of the coal swamps? It depends upon where you'd like to begin. We can begin here on the Savage Nation. In other words, before there was a world as we know it, there was the firmament. There was a world in space and a world in time. Then they became the beginnings of life. And to the evolutionist, you had the fishes, then the coal swamps, then the reptiles, the birds and the mammals, the age of the mammals, the monkeys and the apes and the submen, then the Neanderthaler and the Rhodesian man. The first true men, primitive thought, the beginning of cultivation, primitive Neolithic civilization, early Egypt and writing, primitive nomadic peoples. And you go on and on and on, and here we come to America, where the country has actually devolved several hundred years to the level of almost the caveman, where text messaging has made them subliterate to the point that I don't even know where on the scale of human evolution this society now sits. With 30 million illegal aliens who do not speak the language or write the language, and approximately 30 million idiots who sit on a text messaging machine of some kind or another, using no punctuation, no past, no future, no pluperfect, I do not know if we are even in the 14th century of human evolution anymore in America, which is why a man such as this fraud from Chicago can get away with dismantling America. Most of these fools don't even know what America is. If you have 30 million illegal aliens who have come here and don't even speak the language, how can they know what America was to worry about what America is becoming right in front of their eyes? The very hellhole that they ran away from is emerging right in front of their eyes because of the neo-Marxist administration that used them to get elected. They don't even know that. So I sit here and watching the world go by, you know, trying to do my best. San Francisco now has just chosen a new police chief, right? Big deal. Comes from Arizona, and the first thing we hear about the new police chief in San Francisco is, well, he's a man. He's in favor of keeping San Francisco as a sanctuary city. Now, as a result of the sanctuary city policies, people are dying and people are dead because illegal aliens murder, they do drug deals, and then they hide out in the city under the sanctuary policies. So it's exactly what the city did not need. But what would you expect from any Tusum Newsom? Would you expect something different from this wonderful genius running San Francisco? He is a people's candidate, after all. He's the people's candidate. 1-800-449-8255. Do any citizens who actually pay taxes still vote in San Francisco? I think it's mainly the illegal aliens who were told to go to the polls and vote themselves raises every once in a while. That's why we have the politicians we do. Now, what is the answer to all of this? I don't have an answer. I'd rather talk about the magic of eggplant, if you'd rather do that. Eggplant is one of my favorite dishes. The black or bluish-black skin of the eggplant, from the homeopathic viewpoint, is actually protective of your skin. I know it sounds absurd, but if you look at the doctrine of signatures and like cures like, I mean, I happen to like eggplant. Most restaurants don't know how to cook it. They give you raw eggplant. Last night, a case in point, went into a restaurant. I ordered eggplant, came out uncooked. I said, okay, let's start again. Can you send it back this time and cook it so it's edible? I'm not a goat. A goat can eat this. Okay, it comes back, and it's cold. Ordered a steak, lukewarm and cold. Nice people, though, very nice. Good thing I had two vodkas before the meal. Went out of my boat in the dark. What am I going to do? The time I got home from dinner, I went down to the water and went out on my little boat, my 20-foot boat, put the lights on. It's nice going out on a boat at night. The whole world looks different. There's no Obama. There's no media. There's no television. There's no computer. It's kind of eternal. To shut the lights off on the boat and just be out on a black waterway, and you see the lights of the houses and the lights of the shore. Very, very beautiful. Very, very seductive. If I had to do it all over again, I think I would be a merchant seaman or something like that. Probably would have gone in the Navy, but I wouldn't have lasted. I wouldn't have lasted because of the conformity. I can't conform to groups. I can't groupthink, and I can't yes-sir anybody. That's the problem. I guess that's why this grizzled old guy wound up in front of a microphone, and here I am 15 years later. This is the way I am. It's one man's opinion. In many ways, I represent an America that is dying and passing off into the past. I'm not ready to kick yet. Don't get me wrong. I'm full of life. That's not the point. I happen to believe, though, that when my generation goes, you're going to fall into 1,000 years of darkness, because the next generation, for some reason, there was a disconnect with reality. Something went wrong, and I don't know what it is. It's not like we're great and, you know, they're no good. But for them to not see what's going on, for them to sit here worshiping a non-entity like Barack Hussein Obama, not understanding who he is and what he's doing to them, makes me sick. It makes me cringe. I don't blame the media. We know what the media is. The media think was any better 30, 40 years ago. What, Walter Crankenhouse, who you know as Walter Cronkite, who shot the troops in the back in Vietnam? It was Walter Cronkite who destroyed the boys in Vietnam. Him and Henry Kissinger, as far as I'm concerned, should be tried for war crimes. What do I mean by the fact that Walter Cronkite shot the boys in the back? I'll go all the way back to Vietnam, the Tet Offensive. The Vietnamese tried everything they had and they lost. They actually lost during the Tet Offensive. They lost on the military playing field. But Walter Cronkite, a longtime wobbly leftist, came up from Vietnam with his flak jacket and said basically the war is over and we lost. He destroyed the American military. He shot the boys in the back, in my opinion. Then you had the two-faced Henry Kissinger. Henry Kissinger was basically working deals behind the back of our men in Vietnam as they were being crippled and shot. It was Henry Kissinger who did it. And Henry Kissinger is now making a fortune, and he has been for 10 years, doing deals with communist China. All while you're standing here and looking at these dumb microcephalics in the media, you don't even know what's going on in front of your eyes. Half the congressmen should be arrested and put into orange jumpsuits. The corruption has never been greater. Never have we had as corrupt a Senate or Congress as we have now. Dianne Feinstein and her husband's business dealings alone could fill an encyclopedia of corruption, in my opinion. And every day she gets away with it. And the woman sits on the top of the Senate Intelligence Committee. Can you imagine this? The Senate Intelligence Committee. As I said to you, if you've read some of the Chinese philosophers on the art of war, Sun Tzu, you will understand why people like Dianne Feinstein are able to get away with this. I'll be right back. Savage. Welcome back to the Michael Savage Show. We are talking about various topics. The main one is the media and the destruction of America. Many of you can't comprehend what I mean. Now, there's a fundamental difference between a free market society and a state-run society. Iran is the example of a state-run society. Obama certainly is not a mullah. Obama is certainly not trying to create a theocracy. But Obama is re-engineering America into something other than America. He wants to turn it into a statist nation. A statist nation is a centralized economy, an economy and a society that is totally run by the federal government, which means, in essence, a dictatorship. Now, unless you comprehend what a dictatorship is and where dictatorships usually go, there's no point in us having a discussion. It's just a difference of opinion. If you like an economic system where bureaucrats decide the prices of things and what you should pay, not the market, then I can't argue with you. If you think that you're going to be better off with a socialized medicine of the type England has, there's no way I can argue with you. You're going to have it unless he is stopped. You understand there's no way for us to argue. We're just going to disagree, and there's no point yelling at each other. Let's go to the callers. Los Angeles, KGIL. Michael, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, Michael, I just think that multimillionaires like you are afraid of Obama because you make well over $250,000 a year, and you don't
I make over 10 times that. That's right, and you don't give me a dime of it, do you? In fact, the amount of taxes I pay for losers like you.
Well, losers like
me. And if it wasn't for winners like me, losers like you would be licking garbage in the gutter.
And,
so don't sit here and tell me I'm taking it from you.
Yeah, and Obama.
What did you put any money in my pocket?
Keep abortion legal.
Did you put any money in my pocket? Did you put money in my pocket?
Because I listen to your show and I get.
You don't put anything in my pocket. It's losers like you who want a government to give you something. But where do you think it comes from? It comes from hardworking people like me, not from losers like you. That's all. Go whine in the streets. Go whine in the streets and leave me alone. 1-800-449-8255. MichaelSavage.com. New York City, WOR. Dan, go ahead, please.
Michael, I think Obama's doing a magnificent job. I don't understand.
How good has he done with North Korea?
What has he done with North Korea?
North Korea has developed their nuclear weapons to the point where they're now threatening America. That's your idea of a good job?
North Korea developed its nuclear weapons during the Bush administration.
Well, wait a minute. Don't keep blaming Bush. Bush is gone. Obama's president for almost 6 months now. Stop with George Bush. Don't pass the buck. Obama had the chance to stop him from launching his last rockets. Why didn't he order the military to do it? Number two, Iran. Why is he doing nothing with Iran, saying he has nothing to say about the mullahs of Iran? Not even a statement in favor of the pro-democracy movement?
I'm happy to. Well, he's doing a nuanced job of maintaining our posture and maintaining our interests.
Hold on. Well, don't give me the word nuance. That's liberal double talk. He did nothing but support Ahmadinejad by saying it's not our business.
That is not true. What he did was, no, that is not true. What he said was he supported the will of the Iranian people. He had deep concerns about the legitimacy of the election. But what he wasn't going to do was meddle in Iranian politics. What he didn't
Oh, he wasn't going to meddle. Then why is he meddling in Israeli politics?
Because Israel is part of our is an ally, and we're involved with Israel.
Wait, you mean so we're allowed to meddle with allies but not meddle with dictatorships?
I'm not choosing the word meddle. You are.
You just used the word meddle. You used it, not me.
In the case of Iranian...
You used it, not me. So in other words, if Franklin Delano Roosevelt didn't meddle with Germany, what would have happened?
Excuse me, meddling...
Why did Franklin Delano Roosevelt meddle with the dictatorship of Germany? Explain that to me. Excuse me.
You're an expert on words, Michael. Meddling is uninvited interference. Israel...
Stop using rhetoric with me. Don't try to trap me in the same kind of arguments that you used your entire life and destroyed your family with. Let's go back to Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Had he not stood up to Hitler, what would have happened to the world? You'd be a lampshade.
My life story, you know...
You'd be a lampshade. And that's because Franklin Delano Roosevelt meddled with Germany.
What are you talking about, meddled with Germany? He had a lend-lease agreement with Great Britain, and he was an ally of Britain, and they declared...
That's correct. So why is it that Obama's not an ally of the democracy movement in Iran?
This is no... Meddling in Iran would be...
You can't answer the question, can you? You think you're still in your muffler shop that you sold 5 years ago. But you're no longer in your muffler shop selling shoddy merchandise from China. You can't sell your shoddy merchandise on this show. Obama's a complete failure, and he is a neo-Marxist trying to impose a neo-Marxist agenda on this country. You know it, and I know it. And every brilliant person who knows what's going on knows that. So don't sit here double-talking me.
Well, I didn't own a muffler shop. It doesn't mean anything, but I also have a PhD. That doesn't mean...
So what? What does that matter? What'd you get out of a Kellogg's box? Wait a minute. What was your dissertation on?
And what lend-lease means.
What was your dissertation on, since you have a PhD?
No evidence. You represent no...
Now, hold it. Stop. Stop or I'm hanging up on you. You just said you have a PhD. What is it in? What university is it from? And what was your dissertation about?
York University.
What did you just say?
University. Well, why would I don't need to prove my credentials.
You just said you have a PhD. I can name five people who never went to college who have PhDs. If you give enough money, you get a PhD. What was your dissertation about?
Please. I'm not...
You don't have a dissertation, so don't try credentials on me, you loser. You've written nothing. You are nothing but a microcephalic. You're a slave of the Obama hypnosis. That's all you are. You have no PhD.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Distressing to me. I have to hold back tears when I see the deliberate destruction that has been wreaked against your people. I come here to the American school, which was educating your children, supported by my own country, and I see that it's been deliberately destroyed by bombs from F-16s made in my country and delivered to the Israelis.
Pleased to meet you. Hope you get my name. Oh, yeah. But what's puzzling you is the nature of my
That was the Jew hater Jimmy Carter on a hate Jew trip in the Middle East. Jimmy Carter decrying Israeli violence and speaking out about Hamas's desire for reconciliation. Jimmy Carter crying crocodile tears over a destroyed school in Gaza, saying nothing about destroyed Israelis and destroyed property from the rocket barrages. Jimmy Carter, as you well know, is the reason we have radical Islam around the world. It's Jimmy Carter who proliferated this radical Islamic curse upon the world. It was Jimmy Carter who worked relentlessly to destroy the Shah of Iran. It was Jimmy Carter who made sure that the Shah was thrown out of Iran. It was Jimmy Carter who welcomed Ayatollah Khomeini back from Paris And after Ayatollah Khomeini came back from Paris, he introduced a medieval society to the wonderful nation of Iran, destroying that society. So now you have Jimmy Carter going to Gaza, decrying with crocodile tears the destruction of a school, saying nothing about the destruction that has been thrown upon the Israelis in Israel by the other side. Listen to clip 13, and you will hear why I call Jimmy Carter the Jew hater.
I feel partially responsible for this, as must all Americans. The Hamas leaders want peace, and they want to have reconciliation, not only with their Fatah brothers, but also eventually with Israelis to live side by side with two nations, both sovereign nations.
You lying vermin. You get off. Get him off the show. Him and his press secretary. I know who's behind the banning in the UK. It's him and his press secretary with their friends in England. You think I don't know where this is coming from? Jimmy Carter is probably the most dangerous threat to the existence of Israel in the world. That's how I see it. It's one man's opinion. Now you've got Barack Obama, the neo-Marxist, taking a wrecking ball to the entire nation, day in and day out, with help from his neo-Marxist friends in the media. Here's a man who says he's helping the little people. Here's a man who's saying he's helping the average person. But in fact, if you analyze where the money is going, it's going into the private sector. It's really not going to the people. It's going to banks. It's going to people at General Motors. It went to unions. That's why General Motors was taken apart like a sporting goods store on The Sopranos. It didn't go to the unemployed. It didn't go to the people. It went to his friends on Wall Street. It went to lobbyists. It went to other people who put him in power. How many people have found jobs as a result of Obama? How many people have earned a job? He said he'd create 3 million jobs. You know that was a lie, and yet no one will call it on him. The latest survey from the Wall Street Journal says 7 in 10 people said they had concerns about federal intervention into the economy, including Barack Hussein Obama's decision to own General Motors Corporation, and more government involvement in health care. The British have had state-run health care for a long time, and they're abandoning it, moving toward the model of the HMO. I don't think you understand that. The British have experimented with socialized medicine, and owing to public discontent, they are abandoning their model, and they are replacing it with the sort of HMO that you may be a part of right now in America. Think of the Kaiser Hospital. While Barack Obama is such a doctrinaire throwback Marxist of the college variety, he doesn't even understand that the British have abandoned the very medical system he's trying to impose upon America. He's not saying we should have HMOs. He's not saying we should have that type of reform. He wants to have the retrograde reform that was tried and has failed in Britain. Why? He's a doctrinaire throwback neo-Marxist academician. A lot of words, I understand that, but they have meaning. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. MichaelSavage.com is the website. There are other stories that can agitate you, many. I don't know that I want to do it. I don't know that you want me to do it. Barack Obama has failed every test thrown at him. North Korea is threatening nuclear war. He did nothing. Now you say, well, what could he have done? He could have done what George Bush could have done, who didn't do it. George Bush chickened out and failed. George Bush could have stopped Kim Jong-il by launching missiles from missile cruisers and destroying the launch pads. He could have stopped them cold. Bush didn't do it. Bush became what he was toward the end. Bush became what he always was toward the end. So now you say Obama's different. He's no different. He's following the Bush doctrine with regard to North Korea, which is look the other way and put your head in the sand. Iran. Why is Obama saying nothing to support the democracy movement in Iran? You say, well, he doesn't want to meddle in Iranian affairs. Then why is he meddling in Israeli affairs? Why is he kicking Israel around and saying nothing to the two tyrants in Iran and North Korea? You'll have to analyze that one. You'll come to the same conclusion I have. So where has Obama succeeded? Let's be fair. He's a nice-looking young man, means well, speaks well, has a nice family. So what? That's enough of a reason for me to support him? You got to look at what he's doing and what he's not doing and where he's leading us. And I am telling you that where he's leading us has been tried before. It has been tried in many nations before. And the question is how far down the Marxist path he will take us. Not if. There used to be a saying in San Francisco, not whether a bar will make money in San Francisco, but how much money a bar will make in San Francisco. It was a given that any bar in San Francisco made money because it was a city filled with drunks. It was the last stop on the American Express. San Francisco was the end of the empire, where many people came here who had nowhere to go, and they just drank themselves to death. Some came here and they opened their minds and did great things with themselves. I'm an example of that. I took advantage of the openness of this society and rose to the very top of my chosen professions. The fact of the matter is, though, it's filled with destitute individuals, not just homeless, but burned out middle class people. So there used to be a saying about San Francisco bars, it's not a matter of how much, whether they will make money, but how much they will make. Now, the same thing can be applied to Barack Hussein Obama. It's not a matter of whether he is a Marxist, but how much of a Marxist he is. We don't know. We honestly don't know where this ends. We only know that we're on this road. Now, it's been tried in other nations. It's been tried in 1917 in Russia. We know where that led. This agenda has been tried in many other nations. We don't know whether this will be a benign Marxism or a dictatorial Marxism. We have no idea where it ends. I want to remind you that it's not Obama himself that I have trouble with, but the people around him. He himself may be a fair-minded guy, not even understanding how far he's dragging the nation to the left, although I think he does know that. I got to take a break. I'll be right back. You're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, Mr. Savage, I hate to inform you, but my wife tells me I no longer can listen to you because I assume because as educated as you are, you know that the sugar levels go up when you're a diabetic when you get stressed. And she says, with the traffic around here and listening to you and getting all upset with these idiot callers you got calling in, talking about the Guantanamo Bay getting...
Oh, yes, that Osama bin Laden's friend should have constitutional rights when they don't even understand the constitutional rights do not apply to foreigners who are trying to kill you. They apply to U.S. citizens, not to people trying to take away our U.S. and our citizenship.
Yeah, they're all a bunch of friggin' idiots, but...
Thank you. Well, hold on. You mean what? That's the one that got you upset where you almost had a diabetic, went into diabetic shock?
Yeah, that's basically how it is. My sugar levels get up to about 600 or 700 by the time I get home just because...
Wait, are you in a car right now, Paul?
Yes, sir.
All right, hold on. Play Robert Reich, him. I'm going to do it. Hold on. What's your blood sugar now? Do you have an instant meter?
Yeah, it's sitting at about 400.
All right, is it on your finger right now? Because we're going to play a soundbite for you and see where it goes. Are you ready?
Uh-oh. Okay.
No, but we got to play the game. You say your blood sugar's at 400. Now I'm going to play something for you. You got to be honest. You got to tell me where the blood sugar goes up, whether it goes up or down. Are you ready?
Okay, I'm ready.
No, is it on the finger now?
Yes, it's. I got to prick it as soon as you start doing it.
Yeah, but how do we know what the rate? Okay, the last time you did it was how long ago?
About 5 minutes ago.
All right, and it was at 5 minutes ago, but that's already when you were angry. It was at 400.
Yeah, I jumped up to 400 because of that.
All right,
idiot.
Get ready. When I say three, we're going to fire away Robert Reich, and then you're going to prick your finger, and we're going to get a blood sugar count. And a one, and a two, and a three.
I am concerned, as I'm sure many of you are, that these jobs not simply go to high-skilled people who are already professionals or to white male construction workers.
All right, what's the reading, Paul?
Well, I'm sitting at 480 right now. And it's going to keep on climbing. That idiot, I have to give you a little sideline, is that I'm a white male construction worker.
Oh, I shouldn't have done this then. Now I apologize.
I'm going to jump over 700 or 800. She's going to kill me now.
Oh, my God. Now, how do we get it down? How do we help you get the blood sugar down? Because I don't want to have you have a problem in the car there.
Well, your music is perfect because it brings you back to the days to where men...
All right, hold on. Which one of the music pieces can we use to bring down your blood sugar?
The Ding-a-ling song?
All right, hold on. First of all, we're sending you a free copy of Psychological Nudity. Already it went down to 500. Now we're going to play Giddy Up Ding Dong. It'll go back to normal. Play Giddy Up Ding Dong for Paul.
Giddy Up Ding Dong, Giddy Up. Giddy Up Ding Dong, Giddy Up. Giddy Up Ding Dong, Giddy Up, Giddy Up.
the whole night. My hearts were tired and I was too. I had a date with my gal at 8. Come on, ding dong, we can't be late. Giddy up, ding dong, giddy up. Giddy up, ding dong.
Oh my God, if I don't know. If you were an amateur student of history and you were living in the 17th century, you would have come to the conclusion probably that it was only a question of a few centuries before the whole of Europe and Asia would fall under not Arab but Mongolian domination. There were no signs of any Arabian expansion at that time. You would have been afraid of the Mongolian invasion at that time. And then suddenly something happened. Something that no one had ever seen before, not for 1,000 years. No Semitic people had founded an empire for 1,000 years. Then suddenly, out of nowhere, the Bedouin flared up for one century of phenomenal splendor. And the Bedouin spread their rule and language from Spain to the boundaries of China. And with it, they brought the world a new culture. And they created a religion that is still to this day one of the most vital religions on earth. The man who did this was named Muhammad, and I'm not going to go into the history of Muhammad. I believe that to those of you who are more interested. But this 100 years is very interesting. The great days of the Arabs, as I said, saw a Bedouin flare up and spread out from the regions of from Spain into the boundaries of China. And it was one of the most amazing stories of military conquest in the history of the human race. The Byzantine army was smashed by the Arabs at the Battle of the Yarmouk in 634. That's a tributary of Jordan. Next, they conquered Syria, Damascus, Palmyra, Antioch, Jerusalem, and the rest, and they fell without any resistance whatsoever to the Muslim invasion. Those nations were not at that time Muslim, and most elements in the population went over to Islam. Then the Muslim armies turned east. And they went to Persia, now known as Iran. Persia at that time was not Muslim. They had a great general, the Iranians of those times, the Persians, called Rustam. They had a great force of elephants. And for 3 days they fought the Arabs at Qadizia. And then their army broke, and they ran. And Persia was conquered. Persia was converted to Islam. Then the Muslim Empire pushed into the western Turkestan region. They pushed east until it met the Chinese. Egypt was not Muslim, and then Egypt fell without resistance to the new Muslim conquerors, the Arab conquerors, and full of their fanatical belief in the sufficiency of their book, the Quran, wiped out the vestiges of the book copying industry of the Alexandria Library. They sacked it. Then the Muslims turned along the north coast of Africa to the Straits of Gibraltar and Spain. Spain was invaded in 710. The Pyrenees Mountains were reached in 720. In 732, the Arabs had reached the center of France. Pay attention. But here the Arabs were stopped for good at the Battle of Poitiers and pushed back as far as the Pyrenees again, not by reason, but by steel. Egypt gave the Muslims a large seagoing fleet of ships. And for a long while, it looked like they would take Constantinople. But although the Arabs made repeated sea attacks with the captured Egyptian fleet, the great city held out against them. All you have to know is that this has happened before. It's happening again. Once again, Islam has conquered half of Europe. Only this time they've done it without firing a shot. This time they did it through the Trojan horse of liberalism, a mental disorder. This time they have done it by using the guise of simply seeking salvation in Christian Europe, when we know, in fact, they want to take over Europe and convert it to Islam. It may be something quite different by the time your children are your age. The only question is, what is America going to be by the time your children are your age? The only question is, when are you going to awaken to the fact that we too are being invaded through a Trojan horse of liberalism, of compassion, of asylum, and primarily through the tool of immigration, which is out of control, Jackson. That's all you need to know is what I just taught you.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation, 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. In fact, what I want to do is go to my website, because there's some stories that are worth noting. You know, it's not to make you look at it. You may probably, most of you don't. But I'm going to start from the bottom. Bottom of the web page. Many of you don't go online. Former Madoff employee sue his sons, big deal. I told you that if I were in the federal government, I would have investigated the grandchildren of Bernie Madoff. I would have started to see what money they received over the last year and what they've done with it. I would also have done a number of other things, such as, where is Chris Cox? Christopher Cox was a Republican congressman who was picked by George Bush to head up the SEC. Chris Cox was in charge of the SEC during the Bernie Madoff days and during the meltdown of the financial systems. Yet no one has investigated Chris Cox. No one has asked where Chris Cox might be. Nobody seems to have investigated Hank Paulson, who is apparently now out of sight, laying low. I mean, what are they dealing with the little fish for? The big fish are Hank Paulson and Chris Cox. Not one investigation. Rural Democrats threaten revolt. Angered by White House decisions on everything from greenhouse gases to car dealerships, congressional Democrats in rural districts are threatening to revolt. Well, I predicted that during the midterm elections, there's going to be a bloodbath, and many Democrats are going to be thrown out of office. There's going to be a tidal shift in this country within 2 years. The question is, can we survive two more years of this Marxist administration, this juggernaut? The White House press spokesmouth, Gibbs, says he cannot name one country where a single-payer tax system works. The president told the AMA there are some countries where a single-payer system works pretty well. Do you know what countries he was referring to? He cannot answer the question. The answer is none. Man poses as dead mother to collect Social Security. It's an interesting story. You can look at it. I think he's another wonderful immigrant from one of the ex-Baltic nations. I don't think he's worked a day in his life since he got here. He knows how to work the system. Many people who came from the ex-Soviet Union have not worked a day in their life. They have worked the system from day until night and from night until day. And they still spit on America and look down upon you. Check it out. PBS to ban new religious programming. All religious programming banned by public broadcasting system. Only state-run Marxist media allowed. $1 trillion health care plan to cost 23 million Americans their private insurance. You don't know anything about it. You have some of the most corrupt, incompetent congressmen and senators in the history of America trying to revise and revamp the health care system. Many of them should be in orange jumpsuits. And that is because their cronies are going to make billions of dollars. There seems to be no amount of money on earth that's enough for them. Attorney General Eric Holder, the man who gave asylum to the Puerto Rican terrorists, the man who gave a pass to Mark Rich, now urges new hate crime laws. Holder said Congress should pass an updated version of hate crimes legislation to more effectively prosecute attacks based on gender, disability, or sexual orientation. Do you expect anything different from a Marxist attorney general? I don't. New San Francisco police chief supports illegal aliens. He fought Sheriff Joe in Arizona. That is why any Tucson Newsom picked him. John Conyers' wife offered plea deal. John Conyers, emphasis on the first syllable. When you go to the top of michaelsavage.com, you see a wonderful article by Don Fetter. Savage blasts neo-Marxist media for neo-Marxist president. You can also read the coverage of Michael's ban in England in one box now on the right, and things have been heating up. I received a letter, for those of you who supported my legal fund, from my attorney, and I will give you new information by Monday. We have to make some decisions. Thus far, the British government has not changed their policies. Apparently, there's a letter coming from the Prime Minister, Gordon Brown. I have not seen the letter. We were told it's coming soon. Apparently, he read my full-page letter, or my letter to him in the British newspapers. Unlike the American media, the British media, while mainly government-controlled, happens to be more open than is the media here, run by microcephalics in the pay of the Obama administration. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. Jennifer, San Francisco, KDW. Go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, Michael. I'm just just wondering when we are going to rise up and ask for impeachment, this mockery of a president. What he is doing is unconstitutional. I'm finishing up law school right now. There's just no time to wait. It has to happen now. We can't wait another
year. You could have a movement to impeach Obama. I don't think it'll go anywhere because the Democrats control Congress. After all, they tried to impeach Bush for years. Did they get anywhere?
Well, I agree with that, except for the Democrats like one thing more than being in power, and that's having the power. And if they know that we are that pissed off about this, that we will vote them out, I think there might be...
Well, that's interesting what you just said. They should understand that they're going to be thrown out of office. They're going to lose their control in the next 2 years. There's a revolt going on in this country. The Gallup poll showing that conservatives are the largest voting bloc in America, yet we have a man to the exact opposite in the White House. We have policies to the exact opposite of the electorate in the in other words, the people and the administration are as far opposed as they have ever been in America. So you can predict that in the next midterm elections, the congressional Democrats are going to lose many seats. So you're arguing that unless they change things right now, they're going to lose power and therefore they might?
I think that's the only way.
Do you think that congressmen who are this corrupt and have never had as much money in their lives coming through their hands through TARP money and whatnot, you think they're going to give up a dime of that graft in order to make sure that they stay in office? Why should they care? They're raking it in like they never raked it before. We would need 10 FBIs to keep up with the corruption in this country. I don't envy the head of the FBI at all. I don't know how many agents he would need to follow what's going on in this Congress right now. It's melting down like a banana republic. Memphis, Tennessee, Rick, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hello, Michael. I was going to say that I believe that they will nationalize health care. They've nationalized the automobile industry and education. And you're familiar with Wahlberg. He said that we will have globalization, whether by force or consent.
Wait a minute. Who said that?
James Wahlberg.
I don't know who he is.
Okay.
I don't know who that is, but they're moving towards globalization right now. We understand that. But here's an interesting fact. We have been screaming for Buy American policies here in America, haven't we, for years, to save America? And we've been told by George Bush that we can't do that. We can't impose tariffs because it would cause a trade war. Are you aware that Canada has imposed a Buy Canada law? China has imposed a Buy China law. Why are we the only moronic nation on earth that does not impose a Buy American law?
They won't let them. The leaders of this country are not Barack Obama. He's their figurehead. The rulers of this country are the people that put him in power, and he has to do what they want. And what they want is to create an international community that is governed by the League of Nations, and the hot spots or the trouble would be...
You mean the United Nations. The League of Nations went out of business in 1923, but okay, I get the point. I hear you. I don't disagree with you, but it's too esoteric for most people. The important thing to remember is that the Democrats are going to have a meltdown during the midterm elections. And let me repeat my main observation of the last piece. The differential between the Obama administration and their policies, which is as far to the left as America has ever seen, and the actual sentiment of the electorate, which is more conservative than you would believe. In fact, the Gallup poll says most Americans, more Americans are conservative than any other identification. The disconnect, or the distance rather, between the Obama administration's policies and the sentiment of the electorate is the greatest it's ever been in American history. Now, as you ask yourself, well, if this is the case, how could this be going on? The answer is because of the microcephalic neo-Marxists in the media. That's all. Very simple. 1-800-449-8255, Binghamton, New York. Myron, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes. One thing about Jimmy Carter, if I may go back to that for a moment. American people must remember that Jimmy Carter was very instrumental in putting Mugabe in Zimbabwe into power.
You're kidding me. He did that as well?
Oh, yes. Absolutely, yes.
Mugabe, who seized the farms from white farmers and collapsed the nation into a nation that has got a begging cup out. You know, when the white farmers were farming in Rhodesia, the ex-Zimbabwe, it was a food-exporting nation. When it was localized and given to black farmers, they lost the ability to grow food enough to feed themselves. They're on the world market begging for food now. You're aware of that, Myron, aren't you?
Well, first, in Zimbabwe, in the new Zimbabwe, a moderate Christian minister was elected. He was a moderate, sort of a transition. But Carter and Andrew Young in the UN backed the North Korean-backed Mugabe, the Marxist.
So Jimmy Carter must be a front for Stalinists on the planet. He's never fooled me. I've always known he's hated Jews. I know that. It's in his very DNA. But that's his entitlement. He's allowed to hate any race he wants. But the man seems to be undermining America itself. And while doing so, he's getting away with it nakedly. How is that?
Well, that's a good question. But the Iranian misery is not the only misery he has.
Myron, I really didn't know that. So that also is added to the hall of shame of Jimmy Carter's manipulations, his meddling. Did you hear Jimmy Carter going to Gaza today and saying he cried over the destruction of property in Gaza by the Israelis? Did you hear that soundbite I played?
My only answer to that is, are there no old age homes in Georgia?
I really don't know. I mean, are peanuts that toxic to one's mentality is the question.
Okay, well, thanks for listening.
Thank you. All right. We can tell a million jokes, but they're not funny. They're not funny at all. John in New York, WOR, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yes, Michael. Being a former Army Ranger, what I see going on in the world makes me sick. This former President Jimmy Carter going over there with his propaganda, and I really believe that Israel and all the Jews in America should notice voting for Obama now. He stabbed them in the back. Israel should prepare themselves to do whatever they have to do to take out Iran's nuclear capability, because just as you see the cycle in North Korea launching missiles like they were tennis balls, Iran will do the similar thing if they do get the nuclear power, and they will drop the bomb on Israel.
John, I agree with every word you just said. You're a man after my own heart, and I wish I could have a beer with you. Unfortunately, I can't, but at least we can have a conversation on the Savage Nation.
Have a commander.
John, where have men like you gone, John? Where are they?
They got, you know, I can't tell you. I served in Nam. I just don't understand. I see what's going on. Michael, people got their head in a sand bucket. They're worried about the Mets, the baseball game, the scores, and this country's falling apart. There's ridiculous illegal immigration flowing through the New York borders. There's home invasions. This place is going to be Mexico City in another 20 years if we get there. And another thing,
John, let me ask you, when you're in New York, do you have conversations like this with any people you know?
There are still a few, I would say 15%. The rest of the population, like I said, they have a bucket of sand on their head, worried about the beach and what they're going to hamburger, they're going to flip on Saturday and Sunday. They'll come into this.
I'm laughing with relief, John, because it's been a very tense day for me seeing these liars in the White House getting away with murder.
And, you know, right now you have the president of China in Russia, and I don't trust either of those countries. They're going back and forth to Cuba, to Venezuela. It wouldn't shock me if we are invaded one day, Michael.
Oh, don't get me started. I have a terrible nightmare that it's going to happen overnight without a shot being fired. Why do you think I read from Sun Tzu yesterday, John?
Horrifying dream.
John, my most horrifying nightmare is that we wake up one day and we are told that there's going to be no fundamental change in America, but that we have a new management team and that the same faces will be in most offices, but not all, and that we have to turn our dollars into the banks for yuan or another reserve currency and things of that nature. John, it can happen here, John.
And people should get their arms and their mill and their, never mind.
Well, you see, John, you know that in radio I'm not allowed to say any of that, so I have to say thanks for the call. We'll move on. Robert Gibbs, the spokesmouth for Obama, the unslick spokesmouth, perhaps the worst press secretary in American history, was unable to name one country where a single-payer health care system works. I'll be right back. Savage.
distressing to me. I have to hold back tears when I see the deliberate destruction that has been wreaked against your people. I come here to the American school, which was educating your children, supported by my own country. And I see that it's been deliberately destroyed by bombs from F-16s made in my country and delivered to the Israelis. I feel partially responsible for this, as must all Americans. The Hamas leaders want peace, and they want to have reconciliation, not only with their Fatah brothers, but also eventually with Israelis, to live side by side with two nations, both sovereign.
Jimmy Carter is a war criminal, as far as I'm concerned. He is a man of absolute lies. He's a Jew hater through and through. It's in his DNA. But as I said to you earlier, he's entitled to hate who he wants. But he doesn't fool me for a minute. It was he who brought down the Shah and brought in radical Islam to Iran. And as we just learned in the last call, that it was he who brought in Mugabe into ex-Rhodesia and destroyed Zimbabwe. Jimmy Carter is a liar in addition to being a criminal, in my opinion, because right after he gave this lying speech on Tuesday saying that Hamas wants reconciliation with Israel, Hamas itself said no, they don't. Hamas itself said no, they do not want to recognize Israel. Hamas said no, we do not want to live with Israel. Hamas said the only thing acceptable, basically, is the death of Israel. So the fact of the matter is, Jimmy Carter has hated Jews for his entire life, so far as I could tell. He wrote a book in 2007 entitled Palestine Peace, Not Apartheid, in which he argued that Israel must choose between ceding the West Bank to the Palestinians or maintaining a system of ethnic inequality similar to that of the apartheid regime in South Africa. The comparison is absurd. You need to go to Israel to understand that. Jimmy Carter, as I say, in my opinion, is a war criminal. But he's entitled to hate Jews if he wants. But he's not entitled to get away with the lie on my show, any more than the neo-Marxists and the media will get away with it on my show. I may have a small audience in terms of the nation. I understand that. I'm not an egomaniac. I have a big ego, but it's not out of control with the reality of who I am. Do I have an audience as large as NBC? No. As large as Katie Couric? No. Or as large as some of the other shows? No. But 8 to 10 million people listen to this radio show are not to be discounted and to be made into insignificant. They all vote. Remember that. Maybe I should print up a bumper sticker that says I'm a member of the Savage Nation and I vote. I'd like to know why it is that Obama can invite gays to the White House and cater to them today because they pressured him, but he has nothing to say to the largest single voting group in America, which is the conservative vote in America. Why is it that he spits on you? Why is it that Jimmy Carter spits on you? Why is it that the neo-Marxist Obama administration spits on you and makes believe you don't exist? Why do they continue to cater to 1% of the population and spit upon 40% of the population? The answer is because you deserve nothing better than to be spat upon. The answer is because you don't stand up. The answer is because you're not organized. The answer is because you don't demand to be respected as a human being. The answer is because you don't tell them that you are a conservative and you vote. I can only do my radio show. I am not an organizer. I am not a revolutionary. I am not a politician. There are those who are. There were the teabagging or whatever, the teabag thing. That was a good deal. And July 4th, there's going to be more. Prior to the teabagging, there were protests against illegal immigration by the Minutemen. They did a great job. But, of course, they were drowned out by the vermin in the media. You understand that, just as the teabaggers were debased and insulted by the vermin in the media. You understand all of that. That doesn't mean you should stop joining these people. Wherever conservatives ask you to rally, you go there. You can do something. You can make a difference. You can make a difference. If 1% of the population could get an audience with the king, then I would say 40% of the population can get through to them. If not Obama, then the conservative Democrats from the rural districts, because they know they're going to be fired. They're going to be thrown out for real conservatives. That's correct. Mark my words.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Here are the headlines that I've covered today. Obama and the fly, the media at war with the American family, and another savage defender. Another member of the media has hailed the words of Michael Savage, and this time it's someone I've respected for years. Don Fetter, former columnist for the Boston Globe, has written a column congratulating me for pointing out the neo-Marxist media and their support for this neo-Marxist president. He'll be on the Savage Nation a little later. Don Fetter and I have both said that the media has colluded with Obama's presidential campaign and now has become an adjunct of the White House press office. Until conservatives acknowledge that the midstream media is at war with basic American values and America itself and begin pushing back, a nation with a conservative plurality will continue on a course charted by an out-of-control neo-Marxist administration. And speaking of a media at war with basic American values, the Today Show is advocating divorce rather than staying together for the kids, yes. An idiot psychic terrorist was featured on the outdated Today Show and said that to reduce stress on children, fighting couples should divorce rather than stay together. I guess they'd rather that the government take care of children instead of the parents. Then there was Obama and the fly. Here we have Iran in the midst of a revolution, North Korea threatening nuclear war. The Chinese have infiltrated our Defense Department. And what is the media talking about? The fact that Obama swatted a fly during an interview with CNBC and how lithe he was. We are doomed as a nation unless we get rid of the cancer that is the midstream media. Recently, I've talked about an article, which I linked to on michaelsavage.com, written by Professor Ellis Washington. It was entitled Prometheus in England. He joins us now to talk with us in more detail about this article. Professor Washington, welcome back to the Savage Nation.
Thanks, Michael. It's really a pleasure to speak to you again, my friend.
So how did you come up with the Prometheus comparison?
As I was thinking about you and the terrible injustice that's been heaped upon you by the British Home Secretary, Jackie Smith, and all of that you've been going through over this past 6 weeks, and I know it's just been extenuatingly painful for you and your family, I wanted to think of a figure, some historical figure, that kind of at least came close to the plight of your situation. And without being melodramatic or overly dramatic, I came across the great Greek myth Prometheus, and his situation going back into antiquity was that he was one of the immortals, one of the gods, and he saw that Earth was in a desperate plight. They didn't have any heat. So he stole fire from Zeus, stole fire from heaven, and sent it, gave it to mortals to heat Earth, thus saving humanity. Now, I was like, wow. That is really a big feat, and that reminds me so much of you as like the man in the arena alone, trying to save humanity with his fight for freedom of speech, freedom of expression with the British Empire, and not really getting much help from, you know, conservatives, and, of course, the government-controlled media is not helping them also. So that's how I came across the myth of Prometheus, and I try to relate that to your plight, Dr. Savage.
You mentioned Shelley's interpretation of Prometheus as someone who refused to bow down to authority.
Exactly. Michael, that fits you to the T. I love your iconoclastic, anti-idol personality. You have a defiant streak in you, and it is so quintessentially American. It's that still in the spine kind of attitude that reminds me so much of the framers of the Constitution, men like George Washington and Ben Franklin and Adams and Madison and all those guys that put everything on the line for freedom, for liberty, to be taken away from the iron boot of England. And so Percy Shelley's treatment of Prometheus, as you said, shows him as, you know, just this person that refuses to bow down to Zeus, even though Zeus is all-powerful. Through that, he was able to win a victory of the human heart and the intellect over the oppression and the capriciousness of the gods, which, as we see through Greek mythology, can be quite cruel. I mean, Zeus chained, he punished Prometheus by chaining him to a rock and having an eagle eat his liver every day, only for the liver to grow back each day for the same thing to happen over and over again for eternity. So Prometheus was battling against cataclysmic forces of unimaginable power. And the same thing is what you're going through, Dr. Savage. You're literally battling the nation of England, who's putting you on this list of 16, this blacklist of 16 undesirables that can't come to the country. I mean, it's outrageous.
Why did you use Lord Byron's interpretation of Prometheus?
Byron was a romantic. He was like Shelley in the Romantic period. And one of the things of the literary figures, those great writers of the Romantic period, was hearkening back to earlier times. They call it, you know, neoclassicism, where they went back and found subjects from classical literature. And Prometheus was a favorite because he stood for the man alone in the arena who refused to be corrupted by any form of institutional tyranny, as personified by Zeus. And then this was also transformed into the church, you know, or the monarch or patriarchs or any form of institutional tyranny. Reminded me so much of Michael and his singular battle against the tyranny of England, quite unmerited, I would like to say, where they're like, you know, picking on him and putting him on this terrible list. And Michael, for his whole career, has done the opposite of those other scoundrels that are on the list. He's tried to fight to uphold liberty, to uphold freedom, to uphold veritas, truth, for everybody. And it's just really an outrage that he's on this list. So I think my comparison of Lord Byron's treatment of Prometheus fits very well with Michael Savage's current battle for freedom of speech and freedom of expression here in modern times.
My being banned from visiting England seems to have struck you personally. Why is that?
Dr. Savage, you hit the nail right on the head. There's so many, as I was writing this piece for you, I could have been just as easily writing it about myself. And not only you and I, but the millions of people out there that are struggling to just try to pay their mortgage, just to try to be good American citizens, only to have the Zeus of our time be Hussein Obama, who's every day taking away more of our freedoms, more of our liberties, more of the things the Constitution framers shed their blood for, to secure. And we have this president taking it away from us. And I know, Michael, for years you've been out there virtually alone fighting against this tyranny here at home. And it just really touched my heart on a personal level. And I just, in this piece, it was an intimate portrait of you in which I wanted to just to try to get a little closer to Michael Savage, the man in the arena battling these forces alone, and just to try to give you a little support to say, hey, Michael, I'm here, I'm with you, brother, and I'm praying that God will give you strength to wage this battle, because you're not only fighting for yourself, Michael, you're fighting for England, and you're fighting for America. Michael, I just wanted to just say this, my friend. Although we've never met personally, face-to-face, I feel that you are like a spiritual and intellectual brother for me, and I consider you a mentor, an intellectual mentor to me personally. And that's one of the beauties about reading somebody's books, somebody's articles, and you've written many, many great books. and also to hear you daily speaking like one of the great prophets of Israel. You remind me so much of Isaiah and the prophet Elijah, particularly, with your fiery personality. These things, Michael, and I'm sure I speak for many millions of your listeners, you're singular, you're unique, you're an original, and don't change. Keep doing what you're doing. Don't compromise your principles, and just know that the 10 million listeners that are listening to you all the time, we're behind you 100%, and we just pray Godspeed on you and God's protection upon your family.
Professor Washington, thanks for the kind words, and thanks for being with us on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
I know that the president is credited with being sometimes awfully lucky. Rainbows appear sometimes when he speaks. But I understand there was an incident today where he killed a fly out of midair during your interview. Describe it for us. What happened?
Well, David, this reminded me of that moment during the campaign when he took a three-point shot at a military base and it swished.
It never fails. Great weather, rainbows, incredible speeches, and three-point basket, a fly, and he nails it. Unbelievable.
The signature characteristic of our... Sorry, I'm going to start over. Hey, get out of here.
That's the most persistent fly I've ever seen. Nice.
Now, where were we?
All right, now we get the picture. Here's the president killing a fly with the microcephalics in our media slavishly worshiping him. This is while North Korea threatens nuclear war. This is while Iran is killing protesters. This is while our currency is melting down and being devalued. The microcephalics at CNBC, MSNBC, and NBC. By the way, they are the worst, and there's a reason for it. I don't think you know what went on, but it was reported about a month ago or 6 weeks ago before the story was buried that the owner, the parent company of NBC, which is General Electric, was fundamentally bought off by Obama. Apparently, the CEO of General Electric, Immelt, did a deal through the Obama administration where General Electric gets, it was reported, $1 trillion in these sort of soft energy projects around the world. And, of course, there's no quid pro quo. We know that. But we think there's a quid pro quo, particularly if you put microcephalics in charge of the media. Now, I don't know how many other people in the media listen to the show. I assume many of them do. And that is because they know my ideas are important. And I believe that we are at a point, yeah, they used to call it a tipping point. Before that, it was called a turning point. Whatever you want to call it, we're at a point that once we pass this point, it will be a point of no return. The neo-Marxist administration of Barack Obama is a naked and open Marxist administration. Everything he does is right out of the playbook of a Marxist presidency. It doesn't matter how many microcephalics say otherwise. It doesn't matter to me if every microcephalic in the media calls me names. It doesn't matter to me if every microcephalic at NBC, the puppets owned by Immelt and the Obama administration, ridicule me or don't mention me. What matters is the truth. There are not two sides to every story. No, there aren't. I was thinking about this the other day as I was watching coverage of the protests in Iran over the stolen elections. CNN actually had a supporter of the Hitler of our time, Ahmadinejad, on their airwaves to give his side of the story. As I've said before, it's these insane people at CNN, such as Wolf Blitzer and Christiane Amanpour, would gladly have interviewed Hitler live from the Führerbunker to give his side of the story if they had been working during World War II, it seems. But the media is just a very small part of this. This is about moral relativism. This is about the neo-Marxist philosophy that there are no moral absolutes, that morality shifts depending on circumstances. Leftists love moral relativism because it allows them to justify their own sick behavior. Tied into this is an entire generation in America that has been brainwashed not to speak out too strongly against anything, no matter how repugnant it may be. We've been taught to try and understand that murderers come from a troubled background, and therefore they shouldn't be blamed for their crimes. We've been taught that despots who kill millions aren't to blame because they're just a product of their socioeconomic environments. And we're taught that any form of perversity is simply a different form of expression, an alternative lifestyle that shouldn't be criticized. The leftists say walk a mile in the other person's moccasins, but in doing so, they justify oppression, deviance, and mass murder. It's a psychology of suicide. A sane society cannot afford to be accepting of every little mode of insanity. A society must be defined by something, and therefore there are things which a society must judge as wrong and reject. When the wall of a cell which separates it from the dangers of the outside environment breaks down, the cell dies. In the same way, a culture cannot survive if there is nothing which defines it as such. There certainly are not two sides to every story. Let's go to Chicago, the heart of the monster itself. Pam, thank you for calling. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, I just wanted to call to say how flabbergasted I am about this garbage out of England. I'm identified as a gay person, whatever, but I have never felt personal hatred from you ever. And I think one of the saddest things is most of the people that criticize you have never bothered to actually hear what you said.
And, that's 1,000% true. They say, oh, he's a terrible guy. And they say, well, you listen to him? No, I wouldn't listen to him. So how do you know who I am then?
Yeah, and then one more shocking thing just for you, doctor. I'm a gay person who opposes gay marriage.
Well, most gays oppose gay marriage, by the way.
This ripoff, I've heard in a
while. If you were to poll the gay community on gay marriage, the majority would oppose gay marriage. I've discovered that in my own life. I know that that's true. This is a very small minority of the gay movement itself that is pushing this.
And gays, Michael, I really think it's lawyers that want a piece of the pie when we break up. And all this is money. It has nothing to do with fling. All they want is my paycheck or part of my savings account if we were to
bust. Oh, how true that is. You know, for the record, Pam, I think the people don't know this. For a brief period when I had a TV show, I had a bodyguard. She was a lesbian in the police department. Do you know that?
Wow.
Yeah, and we got along great. She was tougher than most of the men I've ever met.
Yeah, and you know what, Michael?
No, I don't want to give out her name because she'll have a lot of... She was 6'2" or 6'3". I haven't kept in touch with her. We got along great, she said. We love you. Her and her partner love me.
Savage.
Now we're going to go on to the website, michaelsavage.com. There's some amazing articles on today's website. You have to read the first. Don Fetter wrote, Savage blasts neo-Marxist media for neo-Marxist president. It's amazing. He leads with this. If a plurality of Americans are conservative, why is there a neo-Marxist in the White House who is successfully implementing a socialist agenda? The answer is the neo-Marxist media. Read it. On the right side, there is the recipient box for the Savage Legal Fund, and beneath it is a conglomeration of all of the UK stories about Michael Savage with all of the updates. They are now in one box. We go down the page. Ellis Washington's great article is still up, Dr. Michael Savage, Prometheus in England. Below that from the SACB is Sacramento Mayor pulled strings and firing. Oh, yeah. Some are charging that Sacramento Mayor Kevin Johnson's ties to President Obama played a role in the dismissal of a federal investigator. No kidding. Corruption? Chicago machine, anyone? A key Obama ally now says that the president didn't follow the law in the firing of the Inspector General, Gerald Wolpin. That's Senator Claire McCaskill, Democrat, Missouri, now sees the truth and waits. From the LA Times, stimulus program fraught with waste. How about a turtle crossing in northern Florida that will cost more than $3 million? You like that one? How many jobs will it create? Well, at least several jobs for turtle handlers. From the AP, Hinckley gets more time away from a mental hospital. He could spend more time from his psychiatric hospital away from it. He could apply for a driver's license, says a so-called federal judge. Look out. Here he comes again. Russia challenges the U.S. dollar. You hear this? The Russian president says the creation of new reserve currencies in addition to the dollar is needed to stabilize global finances. Thank you, George Bush. Thank you, Barack Obama. A man who raped and sodomized a four-year-old was punished very, very severely, 1 year in jail. Now he's a twice-convicted felon. He had watched the children during the weekends while their mother worked. But that judge really threw the book at him. He gave him a year. Liberalism is a mental disorder. From the New York Post, the Obama effect. U.S. enemies see weakness. The despots who run Iran somehow missed the halo gracing President Obama during his recent sermon to the Muslim world. No kidding. Former CARE executive named in a RICO lawsuit. Read that one. It won't appear in tomorrow's Muslim-loving newspaper. That's right. A former executive of the so-called Council on American-Islamic Relations was served in a federal fraud and racketeering lawsuit, RICO. Read it and weep. From the Washington Times, after lobbyist boasts, Feinstein cancels a fundraising event. You see, the lobbyist set the agenda in the nation's capital. Obama said that would be over, but not when it comes to Dianne Feinstein. Further down on MichaelSavage.com, Carter says to Obama, remove the terrorist group Hamas from the terror list. As you know who Carter is a front man for the designated terror group in the minds of millions of Americans. In fact, people have thought Carter worked for the other side for at least 40 years. And by the way, before we're through with MichaelSavage.com from the New York Daily News, can you believe this? Laura Bush has come out calling Sonia Sotomayor a good nominee. Shame on you, Laura Bush. You should know better than to laud someone who is less qualified than others simply because she is of the right gender and the right race. Although to the mainstream media, Michael Savage does not exist, my words are still being heard by many. Don Fetter with Accuracy in Media and BoycottNYT.com has written a new article on my blaming the neo-Marxist media for a neo-Marxist president. Don Fetter, welcome back to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. Thanks for having me on again.
Tell my listeners what your background is with the mainstream media. I followed your articles for years.
Well, Michael, I was a journalist for almost 20 years. I worked for the Boston Herald as a political columnist and editorial writer. I sat in the newsroom of the second largest newspaper in New England for almost two decades. And I saw what went on in the newsroom. So my knowledge of these things isn't academic. It's personal.
Well, what about my comments struck a nerve with you?
The fact that you said that the reason we have a neo-Marxist in the White House, and I like the fact that you call Obama a neo-Marxist because that's exactly what he is, and you're one of the few people with the courage to say that. I liked it when you said that we have a neo-Marxist in the White House because we have a neo-Marxist media, and that's absolutely correct. It's the neo-Marxist media that put a neo-Marxist in the White House. In fact, Barack Obama should have stamped on his tushy, made by the New York Times.
Not only did this media coverage get Obama elected, but they're covering for him still.
When have you last seen a headline in the New York Times about homelessness? Just to give you one example. Remember during the Reagan years and during the years of Bush 41, it was all about the homelessness and how awful it was and how it was Reagan's economic policies or Bush 1's economic policies that were putting people on the streets. Now we have unemployment rate of over 9%, which would lead one to imagine that there are a lot of homeless people. So why isn't the New York Times covering that? Well, it isn't because they don't want people to know exactly how devastating the impact of Obama's economic policies are.
How deeply is Obama ingrained with the left-wing media?
Michael, it's no exaggeration to say that Obama was a media-created candidate. 3 years ago, no one had heard of Barack Obama. Then he's elected to the United States Senate from Illinois because his campaign managed to destroy the reputations of two other candidates. And suddenly, out of nowhere, he's a media celebrity. They're all puffing his book. They're talking about how brilliant he is, what a great orator he is, how he has a vision for the future. And here's a man who probably had less experience in office than any other president elected in the last 100 years. It wasn't the Obama campaign that did this. It was the New York Times, ABC Evening News, the Los Angeles Times, the San Francisco Examiner, and all the rest of them. They were a public relations agency, or they acted like a PR agency for Barack Obama, even before he launched his presidential campaign.
Do you think, as I do, that more and more people have awakened to the Obama hypnosis?
Well, I think more and more people are waking up, Michael, and the trend is going to increase, but you've seen the latest polls. I believe in the latest Gallup poll, 61% of the American people are giving Obama favorable ratings. Now, that's amazing. If 40% of us are conservative, but 61% of us are giving Obama positive approval ratings, there has to be something wrong going. I think one of the things that's wrong, of course, is the fact that the media consistently lies for Barack Obama. It won't tell the truth about him. It sugarcoats the administration's policies, which, as you pointed out, are nothing less than neo-Marxism.
The media even turned on their golden boy, John McCain.
The New York Times even went so far as to trash Cindy McCain, John McCain's wife, during the presidential campaign. In fact, after the campaign, Mark Halperin, who is a writer for Time Magazine, media critic, not a conservative, by the way, Mark Halperin lambasted the media for what he called extreme bias, extreme pro-Obama coverage. Michael, it's interesting to note that before the nominating conventions, for about a decade or more, John McCain was the New York Times' favorite Republican. He was their fair-haired boy. They loved him. He was the un-Republican, and they were always doing puff pieces on him because basically McCain did everything they told him to do. They wanted him to be pro-illegal immigration, to be pro-amnesty. He was pro-amnesty. They wanted him to be pro, quote-unquote, campaign finance reform, which is, in fact, incumbency protection. He was pro-campaign finance reform. John McCain basically took the New York Times line right down the line. And he was true to the New York Times agenda. And then suddenly, the bigger, better deal came along, which was Barack Obama. And then John McCain became mean-spirited. He was running a dirty campaign. He was focusing on things that were irrelevant, you know, like all of Obama's associations. And that's something else that needs to be commented on. The fact that very early on last spring, the New York Times, which of course sets the tone for the rest of the mainstream media, the New York Times decided that William Ayers and Jeremiah Wright were non-issues, decided that these were issues that were off the table. Even if McCain or Sarah Palin talked about Ayers and Wright, the New York Times and the rest of the mainstream media wouldn't cover it. You know, they decided that it was terribly unfair. In fact, it was probably racist for John McCain to talk about Obama's ties to an unrepentant ex-terrorist, or the fact that for 19 years, he was a member of a church that was run by a raving lunatic. And Obama always cited him as his spiritual mentor, as the man who brought him to Christianity, or what Barack Obama calls Christianity. And that's something else that the New York Times did for Barack Obama. It told the Republicans, it ordered the Republican Party not to talk about Obama's questionable ties, including his ties to Tony Resco.
John Fetter, thanks for being on the Savage Nation.
Michael, thanks for the opportunity to address your audience. Very discerning questions. Good conversation.
This is the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Protests in the streets of Iran over the fraudulent elections are still ongoing. Despite the media blackout and the non-reaction of our Obama administration, joining us now is Ken Timmerman with his observations.
Well, Michael, there's really no doubt these are extraordinary times in Iran today. Nobody could have predicted these results of these elections on Friday. Nobody, by the way, knows the actual results of the election. The only ones who really know what's going on are eventually those inside the regime itself. I've been saying for the past couple of weeks that Iran resembles a lot the Soviet Union under Joseph Stalin. And let's not forget what Stalin used to say. He said, it's not the people who vote who count, it's the people who count the votes. And Ahmadinejad, the president who's claimed a landslide re-election, his people counted the votes. He was in charge of the Interior Ministry. It was run by a Revolutionary Guards general. They're the ones who ran the polling stations. They're the ones who counted the votes. They're the ones who determined very early on in the evening of the elections, just as the polls closed. They had just taken a sampling of the votes, and they announced him the victor with 62.6%. Hours later, after they claimed to have counted votes all across the country, right down to the last digit, they declared him the victor with 62.6%. That kind of linear progression, Michael, is statistically impossible. It shows, I think, if nothing else shows, that there was massive fraud in this election. This said, I think we need to understand that all the candidates who were running, there were only four of them, were chosen by the regime. None of these people ran on a platform to get rid of absolute clerical rule. They talked about relations with the United States. They talked about how Ahmadinejad had destroyed the credibility of Iran and things like that. But none of them talked about getting rid of absolute clerical rule. In the last 2 weeks, though, something changed. There has been tremendous popular enthusiasm, and it's really been generated by the attacks on Ahmadinejad, the clear speaking during the debates. You've seen Ahmadinejad himself accuse his rivals of corruption, and you've seen them accuse him of destroying the reputation of Iran, bringing down international sanctions, and isolating Iran by denying the Holocaust and threatening to attack Israel and the United States.
What do you think the protests in the streets are going to yield?
I think the massive outpouring of people on the streets is a very positive thing. The regime took fright to this, and I believe they chose to cut short the, quote, what I would call the democracy play that was going on before it got out of hand. They did not want to allow the people of Iran to actually choose their leaders. They certainly don't want to allow them to choose the kind of regime that they have. I was stunned to learn that the Washington Post, in an editorial, was actually counseling President Obama not to add legitimacy to the regime by essentially accepting the results of this election. I think that is a very wise counsel. President Obama, I fear, is going to turn around in a few days and say, well, you know, we don't always like the results of democratic elections, but that's democracy, so we're going to deal with whatever regime is there, whatever government has been elected by the people. I think that's the wrong move. I think it's absolutely the wrong move. It would send a devastating message to the people of Iran, who continue to look up to America as a beacon of freedom and of the future for themselves. It would send a message that basically we have given up the values that made our country great.
What do you see going on now? What do you think it means?
A lot of things are going on inside Iran today. Rafsanjani is down in Qom, which is the Vatican of the Iranian Shiite leadership. He's trying to count the votes himself within the Assembly of Experts to review the decision by the Supreme Leader to certify this election. What this eventually means, Michael, is that there could be a showdown within the ruling clerical circles themselves. This is something that we haven't seen really in basically 28 years inside this Islamic Republic. Interesting things are going on. Hardball is being played. Many have accused Khamenei of a military coup, but Rafsanjani and his people are trying to fight back, and they're trying to see if they can actually remove Khamenei from power. And that's what explains, I believe, his brief apparent backing down this afternoon, saying that he will order a review of the election results to determine if there was fraud. I don't think he's going to find anything, but clearly he's worried.
Thanks, Ken. The currency is melting down. North Korea is threatening nuclear war. Iran is in turmoil. Russia wants a new reserve currency for the world. And what does Obama do? A big, big display. Domestic partnership benefits for gays in the federal government. What kind of president is this? What kind of president could get away with this were it not for the microcephalics in the media? Virginia Dawn, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead. John, are you on the air here, guy?
Hello?
All right. All right. Thanks for the call. We got the live ones today. Everyone's on the Chickapoo Joy Juice. And where is everyone? Is there a World Series? I don't even know the month it is. June 17th, that one. You want to talk about the wars of the Greeks and Persians? I think I'd rather just talk about the museum and library at Alexandria that was burnt to the ground by the Muslims after they invaded Egypt. Would you like to hear about that? How about the museum and library at Alexandria, Greece, that was burnt to the ground when the Muslims invaded Greece? You don't know invaded Egypt. You don't want to know anything about that. See, they didn't want the spirit of inquiry to continue. They thought that one book was all humankind needed, very much like MSNBC. Only one book is necessary for the people on that network. How about the life of Gautama Buddha? You want to talk about Buddha? He's an interesting guy. About the same time that Isaiah was prophesying among the Jews in Babylon, and Heraclitus was carrying on his speculative inquiries into what things were, they were all in the same world at the same time, the 6th century B.C., and they were unaware of each other. That's interesting when you think about it, that all of these great minds occurred in the same century. They didn't know each other. Buddha was teaching his disciples at Benares in India. Same time Isaiah was prophesying among the Jews in Babylon. And Heraclitus was carrying on in his speculations at Ephesus. So what does it have to do with you? Nothing. What does it matter to you? What does history and philosophy mean to anybody? Nothing. We live in a society where they can text message. What do you mean, Buddha, Isaiah? Who cares about them? All that matters is that some chick can run around with pointy shoes and text message someone and vote for Obama. That's all that matters. That's all that matters, that benefits are given to domestic partners. That's the whole world. Brainwashed by AOL and Yahoo News, run by the same mentality. So for me to sit here and talk about Buddha, Isaiah, what's the point? Confucius, Lao Tzu, what's the point of talking about it? They don't want to know history. All they want to know is how to better text message. So what I say to you is Obama is nothing new. We've seen him before. We have seen Obama before. He comes to us this time with a new name and a new look. But he has been on the earth before. The Obama phenomenon has been seen in ancient Egypt, and I gave it a name before. The Obama that you are seeing had appeared in Russia in 1917 with a different style and a different name. So there is nothing new under the sun.